Disco sure did a good job decorating the comeback.
Yeah, look at all of Tad's headshots.
He sure was thin in 1983.
Yeah, but he's still wearing that same blue blazer.
You don't mess with the classics, Pedro.
Look, there's Tad's mom, Ruth Martin.
Too bad nobody invited Safari Jeff.
But look, there's Jamie, right out of Africa.
Celebrate Tad's birthday, come on.
Let's eat some cake.
It's Dad's birthday going on, let's roll. He's got four kids and he's had five wives. We just don't really know how long he's been alive. Come on now.
Celebrate Dad's birthday.
It's Dad's birthday and he's looking great. Gained so much weight. It's time for Dad to stand up. Christmas lamb, touch her teacup. Dad deserves to have some love. Come on, Dad. Come on, Crystal. You guys sure do look cute together. Woohoo! This week, all my children, it's Tad's birthday, and Tad gives Crystal a gift. A kiss, that is.
Zach, kangaroo's in.
Kendall, spikes, apple juice.
And did we mention Blandy has a secret?
Really? No.
Yes, really.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And this is Peter, also known as Pedro.
He is Pedro, my man Pedro, and he is filling in this week for Mr. Taylor Crawford, who is still in Dubuque, Iowa. And this is the podcast for the week ending August 31st.
It's Labor Day.
That's right. It's Labor Day weekend.
That's right.
But here we are, laboring away, watching a show, so you don't have to. It's true, right?
That's true, Ashley. Ashley, I would just like to say thank you very much. I was planning on having a quiet weekend, and Ashley invited me to a family barbecue. I'm not going to say it was quiet, and I'm going to say I was very well fed.
He was well fed because I've been to Pedro's house, and listen, no offense, his mom's is nice and all, but when she cooks for like a handful of people.
Yes, my mother likes to take into account everyone will eat something, probably not all of what she's planning on serving them, so she makes a little bit less than she has to.
Yeah, she kind of skimps a little. I mean, it's all for a good cause, you know, she just don't want to waste food or nothing, but sometimes I go home, my stomach's grumbling.
Well, that was certainly not the case.
Not at my house. We had rice and beans and totones and pernil. We had a lot of stuff.
It was delicious.
Pollo guisado, arroz con pollo. It was great. We had so much stuff.
It was delicious.
It was good. And he was so nice. And you know what, viewers? I made him not. He was not allowed to wear his sandals.
I was not. But I wore loafers with my white socks.
No, you did not. He did not wear loafers or white socks. I made him wear Nike sneakers. We went shopping to Modell's. And I made him get Nike sneakers.
Yes.
So he looked cute. He looked nice. Carlos was only a little jealous.
That is true.
He was only a little jealous. But he knows that I like, you know, Latin men. So he wasn't that worried about it. If it was my friend Jose, then he would have been worried. Because Jose is the bomb.
The thing about Carlos is he's a large, muscular man.
That's why he ain't worried about Pedro. Because no offense, you are neither large nor muscular.
Listen, just like Safari Jeff has a vest with multiple pockets and surprises, you never know what Super Pedro will come up with.
I love Safari Jeff. I don't remember if it was Jilly or who mentioned that we have not seen Safari Jeff, but we certainly did not see Safari Jeff at Taz's birthday party this week. Did we, Pedro?
No, we didn't, Ashley Mendoza.
I was very upset about that. It, you know, made no sense not having Safari Jeff at that party. As far as I know, he has not left town, so I don't know what is going on, but...
Maybe his vest is at the dry cleaner.
He didn't have nothing to wear. That's possible. That is definitely possible.
I mean, that man is committed to the vest.
All right, people, for those of y'all that still ain't watching the show, we'll start with the most fun storyline of the week. It may not have been the biggest storyline, but it certainly was the most fun storyline, I believe. It was at the comeback, okay? What happened was we started the week, at least we started Tad's storyline, with Tad pouring his heart out to Crystal, you know, about Jamie leaving and stuff. And I just, you know what? Nothing really happens during their scenes, but I adore them so much because it's
so real. I know why Safari Jeff was not at the party.
Why, Pedro?
Because he had lent his vest to Jamie.
And he flew to Africa to get it back.
That's right. He was like, he's like, where's my vest? And he's like, oh, Jamie, that rascal took it to Africa.
Jamie, damn. All right, well, before I get into that, I would tell you that, like I was saying before, Crystal and Tad are so great together. They, like, just talk, and Crystal comforts Tad and, you know, reminds him why he's such a good father and how Jamie is such a good kid and all that stuff. And it's, like, so realistic and so real and so lovely, and I just love it so much. So, anyway, at the beginning of the week, I kind of fell asleep a little bit. I'll be honest with you all, because, like I said, even though I love these people, nothing really happened. So, I believe that they talked a little bit. I think it was JR and Crystal and Kobe were plotting, you know, to do something special for Tad. So, then, I believe it was Thursday's episode, we find out that Crystal has decided to throw a birthday party for Tad. All right. And it's really funny because it's a surprise party. And we get there and like all the guests are coming in and like Ruth Martin is there. The actress Lee Merriweather plays her. And it's always delightful to see her. It's always nice to see her because we know that she doesn't have the flu.
That is true. I don't know. I don't understand what that means, actually.
Well, this is what that means. Whenever Ruth Martin is not around for like the most important or tragic family events, she's got the flu. Like Joe's like, Dr. Joe's like, Ruth has the flu. She's not feeling well. And you know it's, like, not true. For whatever reason, they have not, you know, invited Lee Merriweather back to tape that day. So at least we know that Ruth Martin is healthy and
she
is
looks
not
healthy.
Sick.
She looked. She did not
no
look sick.
No fever. No chills.
No chills.
You know, no sneezing. No sniffling.
No. So maybe that was she's nice. Taking Airborne or one of those.
You know, viewers, I have to say something. We very, very, very subtly squeezed in two sponsors today. That's 20 cents. We squeezed the Models.
Oh, Models.
And Airborne.
And Airborne.
That's nice.
That's nice.
Very clever, Pedro.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm here to help.
Anyway, so then it's kind of funny because, like, Erica comes in. Now, I adore Erica. I adore Miss Kane. She is so beautiful. She's 61 years old. She comes in, though, I have to say, this was like the first time I thought she came in dressed a little inappropriately. She was wearing them tight jeans, like mm-hmm. size zero tight jeans, mm-hmm. and like a little black and white, like almost zebra camisole. Mm-hmm. And she looked really beautiful.
Okay.
But she almost looked, Pedro, what did you think? Like she was maybe trying a little too hard to recapture her teenage years.
Well, the Jordache jeans didn't help.
I thought they were Gloria Vanderbilt.
They could have been.
I don't know. I thought she was trying a little hard. But she still looked, listen people, she still looked beautiful. I just thought it was a little young looking for her.
Well, it's a party. She wanted to be able to get down.
That's true. That's true. So on the walls, right, we see all these great pictures of Tad. They're like headshots throughout the ages.
They are. You can tell the graphics department just went to there. They were like, hey, Tad, do you have some extra headshots from your past that we can just blow up and put up?
They probably had all of Michael E. Knight's pictures in like a nice Michael E. Knight file. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you would think they could. Maybe they would have a snapshot from some other.
They don't do that. They always use the professional. You know what? That's a really funny thing that you mentioned. When I was a little girl, people, I used to watch All My Children when I was a little tiny girl. I mean, I'm talking like 7 years old, like would stay home from school and watch it. And I remember seeing the pictures, like they were always like these professional portrait, like headshot pictures. And I remember wondering why we never had those. Like even the school pictures that we had with like the flag in back of us and stuff, it still was not like this professional portrait with like the light coming from behind and the wind blowing the hair and the perfect makeup, you know what I'm saying? So people always had that. And I always thought it was a rich people thing. I didn't know about soap operas and actors and stuff. And I thought just rich people had really nice portraits.
Or else they spend a lot of time at the mall at Super Shots.
No, but they didn't have, see, I thought that, but they didn't have glamour shots back then. They did not have that.
That's true.
So it always made me think like, oh, well, rich people have that. That's really neat. You know, like when I get old and get rich and I will have that. All right. So all the great headshots are on the wall and like everybody's waiting for Tad because he's at home. He's bought a new HD television. and he's all excited to watch TV. So JR goes to go get him, and he's like ready to kick back and watch football and look at the his brand new HD television. So it's kind of like hijinks ensue, people. You know what I'm saying? You know, JR has to like secretly somehow magically like cut the electricity and kill the generator and all that stuff. And like,
couldn't they just think up of an excuse?
He tried and tried, and Tad was not biting.
Maybe Tad was thrown off by JR's haircut.
What do you mean, Pedro?
That haircut is, there is such attention to detail. Each strand is perfectly placed and cut. That haircut is so perfectly messy.
He's pretty quaffed, I will say that. Yes. I will say that.
Hold on. Did anyone ever answer my question about the acting challenge?
They did. Most people said that Jack would win simply because Aiden couldn't speak English.
I agree. Your listeners are very smart.
Very, very smart people. Very astute, if you know what I'm saying. Very astute.
That would be an acting showdown.
It really
Jack did. Against Aiden.
Aiden could win if it was acting.
If it was acting in gibberish.
Yeah, if it was acting in gibberish, Aiden could win hands down.
Yeah. Or with just mime. Maybe if they were to mime a scene.
No, if they were to mime, Jack would win hands down. Because the head miming alone, he would wipe the floor with Aiden.
That is true.
Literally.
That is true.
He would wipe the floor with Aiden, I'm telling you.
And his hair would not move an inch.
That's true. That's true. All right, we're digressing, Pedro. So listen what happens. So Tad has quote-unquote problems with his HD television. I'm screaming at the television, take it back to Best Buy, Best Buy. Taylor had to take his television back 8 times.
Every week, Taylor brings it back.
And they take it back. Yes. And they only have a nominal restocking fee. So I'm like, take it back. But then it was like, turns out to be JR messing with it. So finally, he gets Tad to go to the comeback. Now, in the meantime, Ruth is there and Opal is there. And they're like betting on Tad's age in each of his pictures, and Opal wins hands down. And there was
It was good to see Opal.
It was great to see Opal.
When was the last time Opal was on the show?
I don't remember. It was a while, but
it's been like years.
No, that's not true, Pedro. I'm sorry, that's not true. She was actually on. The new writers have been giving her a little bit more airtime, and they gave Marion Colby Chandler, Stewart's wife, they gave her some airtime as well.
Oh.
Pretty recently. It's Ruth Martin we haven't seen very much of. And it was nice because, like, everybody was there. They introduced that new character, Wes.
At the bartender?
Yeah. I mean, I have to tell you right now, I have some hopes, but he looks like a hillbilly to me.
Well, he was dressed to look that way, don't you think?
Yeah, he was a little bit hillbilly to me. I mean, it was kind of fun because it made sense because, like, the comeback and Crystal's friend and stuff like that.
He seemed very nice.
He seemed nice. Yeah, he seemed nice.
He understood.
He was just a little goofy to me, like a little goofy looking.
Well, maybe, but...
Because there's nothing wrong being a hillbilly, people, but he was just a little goofy.
He clearly understood as when Tad snuck into the comeback behind the crowd.
Oh, that's right.
He got the message. Don't say
anything. Well, because what happened was JR finally left with him, I think. And then Tad ditched him. Because I think Tad figured out what was going on. So Tad ditched him. And then he comes in and he sits down. He hears everybody kind of talking about him and stuff. And saying funny things and stuff. So then, Wes kind of keeps his cover. And then, everybody finds out it's Tad. And it's like, it's Tad. I'm going to say one thing.
Just one thing, Ashley Mendoza? Just one?
Maybe not just one. People, please forgive me. I love Tad, and what I'm about to say is probably considered sacrilege in some circles. It may get me into a lot of trouble with the viewers. I find Tad rather large these days.
Well, in looking at those headshots of Tad...
Maybe that's what it was.
It's 2 for 1.
Listen.
Tad has put on some weight.
I love Michael E. Knight so much, but it's like... Try a little bit. Like, he doesn't have to be that big, does he? He's so handsome.
Ashley, I'm going to leave that. That's your department.
All right, people. Please write me and tell me that I'm really being mean and horrible because I need to shut up about this. But it does a little bit inside, people. I watch it and I wish a little bit that he was a little thinner because I think he's so handsome. And I'm so sexy when he's, like, skinny and stuff. And he's not an old man. I mean, we don't know how old he is, but we know he's not an old man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you would never actually know how old he is. That's the only birthday party in the history of birthday parties where they don't say how old he is.
It's true. You would think they would give him a little bit of grief of his age. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. You have no idea how old that man is.
You don't have any idea how old the character is.
No.
I mean, if we had to say how old the actor Michael E. Knight is, we think he's 48, right? We think he was born in 59, right?
Ashley, I'm going to leave that to you.
All right. Well, anyway, he's not an old man. He's still plenty time to be plenty sexy. That's all I'm saying. Anyway. And then the whole party, we get these sort of little teases about Crystal singing, like Opal remembered when Crystal sang My Bonnie Valentine to Tad. And I was so dying. I was like screaming, like, just let Crystal sing the whole rest of the episode, because people, I adore Bobby Eakes' singing. She is so talented, like so talented. But she didn't sing, like not right then. So then what I was really surprised with was that Kendall and Zach showed up.
Yeah, it was nice to see Kendall out of the house.
I have to admit, it was really nice to see them, but I still felt a little weird about that. I'm telling you, if I had a premature infant that was fighting for its life in the way that that little baby is fighting for his life, I could not leave. I'm telling you right now, Pedro, it wouldn't happen.
Well, this is the thing that was a little strange about it, is that she got to the party, Kendall got to the party, and it was like, listen, you have to forget about the baby. And she was like,
Well, she did, but then she kept talking, like people kept, like Ruth Martin kept saying to her about the cochlear implants. And Kendall's like, my son is just fine. Spike is just fine. We've decided to go another option, another way, Ruth.
I guess that's true.
So, I don't know. But then she was just talking about Spike, like she wasn't really talking about Ian.
Well, she doesn't like Ian. I mean, let's be honest.
All right, well, we're going to talk about her in a second. But did you notice that Miss Julia, Miss Minnie Hands Julia is back?
She is back.
She looked good, people.
She did. Hands are still the same size,
hands
though.
Are still the same size, which is good. She did not gain weight in the hands.
She did not. Her hands did not gain weight, nor did they grow.
Well, we're laughing because she had a baby, as you viewers know. So she lost a lot of the baby weight. She looked great. Still a little big, but looked really great for the most part.
Yes, she looked.
I thought.
Yes.
We had a little glimpse, people, of Josh and Babe sitting at a table in the comeback together. I was so excited, people. I don't know why. I still love them together. I don't know about you, Pedro, but I still adore them together. It was nothing sexual at all. It was like one brief second of conversation, but it got me excited.
It's a good moment.
I thought it was funny that when Aiden toasted Tad, he didn't understand it. He was like, what is he saying? What is he? What, huh?
Well, no one can understand Aiden. That is the mystery of Aiden.
It was great. But the best thing about the whole entire party was Jamie's videotape from Africa.
With Safari Jeff's jacket on.
I was cracking up. I was screaming at the high definition television because, people, it was the cheesiest looking tape I'd ever seen. It was like a fake trees and a fake hut. And like, if you really like pinned it down to like to actual time, Jamie's been there maybe like a day. And he was like kicking back with like a drink and the Safari Jeff vest and toasting Tad from Africa. I was cracking. It reminded me of Gilligan's Island, I swear to God.
Yes. I mean, the coconut drink, the whole thing.
Everything, everything. And then he made this excuse for Uncle Jake that Uncle Jake was busy or something and couldn't say anything to Dad. Which was so ridiculous. Like, I almost wish that they had just cast somebody random just to be Jake, because it's so ridiculous that Jake would not say something to his brother. And it was even more ridiculous that Safari Jeff was not at his own brother's party and he lives in town.
The other thing that was ridiculous is Jamie, at the end of his message, is like, I gotta get out of here and get back to work. You know, he only talked to Tad for a minute, then he's like, I gotta run.
It was really...
But he's like kicked back with a drink, and he's like, listen, it's really exhausting. I have to finish this coconut drink. Do they have coconuts in Africa?
I don't even know.
I mean, that seems like a Caribbean thing.
It was ridiculous. I was cracking up. It was great for common value.
People are starving to death in Africa, and Jamie is having a coconut drink.
Was it a coconut drink? I don't remember. It was some kind
wrong.
Of random silly drink.
It is ridiculous.
It was funny. Ava was really slutting it up, people, at that party. I'll tell you right now. She was kissing all over Johnny and stuff, but still being, like, really obnoxious. I'm really liking her less these days, people. I like her when she's more tortured and less obnoxious. Don't you agree?
Yes.
And then the other really funny thing, Colby didn't realize, like, they were naming all of Tad's girlfriends and stuff.
First of all, one of the people, the name was Susie Taylor. I don't know nothing about no Susie Taylor. People, please tell me. I don't watch the show that far back. But was there a Susie Taylor? Because I don't remember her. I do remember Hillary. Nobody talked about Hillary. Nobody talked about Dottie. They were two huge, huge relationships for Tad. I loved Hillary. Hillary was my absolute favorite. I loved Hillary so much. I loved Hillary and Tad more than Dixie and Tad. Because Hillary ran down the street in her wedding dress when Tad didn't show up to the wedding. And I loved it. It was the winter. It was the dead of winter. And this woman in this, like, huge wedding dress. Like, this tricked out wedding gown. Like, I'm not talking like a little gown. I'm talking like bells and whistles and veils and lace and leather and all this stuff. Running down the street in the dead of winter. Tad! Where's Tad? Where's Tad? Where's Tad?
That was an amazing impression.
It was the best. Anyway, then they mentioned Liza, and somehow Colby didn't realize that Liza and Tad had slept together like hundreds and billions of times. How did that happen?
Hundreds of billions is a lot of time.
Well, they slept together quite a few times, let me tell you. Because Liza blackmailed him into sleeping with her a bunch of times. But then the biggest thing in the whole party, Tad kissed Crystal. He said, give baby Jenny a kiss for me. And then he kissed Crystal, like, real passionately. It was sexy, like anything.
I thought it was a little awkward.
You did?
Yeah, like, they were grinding teeth.
I thought it was sexy. I thought it was real sexy.
Listen, Ashley Mendoza, you are the queen of sexy. So I'm going to leave it to you.
All right, Pedro. You want to talk about Kendall now?
What about Kendall?
Zach stopped Kendall from pulling a Glenn Close. She almost took that baby.
That woman's baby.
Yeah, remember?
I remember that she walked in. I didn't watch the first couple episodes this week.
She did not pull the baby. She did not take the baby. You know who the woman with the baby reminded me of?
Who?
My favorite bad TV sketch called Nice White Lady. You know that movie? It's like a spoof of like the Hilary Swank movie where she's the teacher in the bad neighborhood. And the students are like all bad. And it's called Nice White Lady. That's who she looked like. You people gotta Google that. That is the most brilliant Mad TV sketch ever. Thank you, Nice White Lady. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Anyway, the Nice White Lady let Kendall hold the baby.
Oh, really?
She did.
She's not a nice white lady. She's a crazy white lady.
No, that is not true. I thought it was the most precious thing. I thought it was really lovely.
That is a gutsy lady.
I like that lady. I thought she was nice. I really liked her. I just like that whole little thing.
That woman was crazy.
So then after this episode, Kendall realizes that she can't live without Spike. And she goes to see Ryan with Zach. And Zach understands that Kendall's going cuckoo and that she can't be without Spike. So then Ryan gets all crazy about it. So then Blandy, who the week previously has suggested that they can't have Spike, suggested they all live together while Kendall is going through this thing with Ian and helping Spike recuperate and all that stuff.
And Blandy's got a secret.
Oh, God. So sick of Blandy's secret. Sick of it.
I enjoyed your song, Blandy Has a Secret.
You like that song?
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, thank you. I thought it was very apt that Ryan mentioned that they'll be living in a commune. All my children have something about people living together. It is so bizarre.
Listen, they're taking a page out of the real world.
But they've done it 8 times already. They have Wild Wind, right?
Yep.
They have everybody living at Tad and Crystal's. And now they have Zach and Ryan and Blandy and Kenzo living together with all the babies.
You know what I miss? A good Libido Zone storyline.
Those were the days. Let me tell you. I never thought that I would say to myself, bring back Libido Zone.
Libido Zone was the greatest drug ever.
Oh, my God. Well, it was nice. You know, it was kind of nice seeing, like, Ryan and Zach talk about the consequences of living together. And, you know, Zach talking to Ryan man to man. But I did not like the Blandy and Kendall love fest. That made me want to vomit a couple times. And, in fact, I tasted a little bile in my mouth. So I had to leave the room for a quick second and wait until the commercial break to come back.
Well, Blandy's got a secret.
Oh, she does, and we're going to find out what it is, unfortunately.
Does Kendall like her other baby yet?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but I do know that she went back to see Dr. Hilliard. I don't think I mentioned this last week. Aiden cannot say Dr. Hilliard. He says Dr. Hilliard.
I'm amazed Dr. you even Hilliard. Get that out of him.
Dr. Hilliard. It's like Hilliard. Dr. Hilliard. It's not that hard, all right? Dr. Hilliard.
Listen, that word is like kryptonite to Aiden.
So Kenzo brings up to Ryan again that he don't want to see Dr. Hillier, and he's like, "All right, I'll check out Dr. Hillier." And she's like, "Great." So they go to see Dr. Hillier, and he's like, "Not easy." He's kind of like upset, you know what I'm saying? And he kind of kicks them to the curb at first, and then Ryan kind of gives up, and then old Kenzo comes back, and it was nice. She was like, "You said that you're going to help my son. You said that you were going to help my son, and that is what you are going to do." And I liked it. Did you see, Pedro? I actually don't think you saw this episode. They had all these fake magazine covers, like, you know, Doctors Today or something like that, of like Dr. Hilliard. And it was like his big head. Like his head was like overly big with like a few little headlines.
Was it his headshot?
It was. I think it was his headshot superimposed onto like a fake cover. Oh, my children, your art department needs a little help, I think. No offense. Okay, somehow Kenzo convinces Dr. Hillier to help out. And he agrees to help out. So then in the meantime, all right, this is kind of an interesting thing. We have Zach, right, kangarooing Ian. We have this really nice nurse come in, this really nice nurse of color. They always make the nurses of color, which I appreciate, but they need main characters of color, people. And she was very good. She comes in and she explains kangarooing to Zach. And it's like this, basically this thing where it's good for the baby, the preemie, to be held, you know, against the warm body, the warm skin of the parent. Now, you can't like overstimulate the baby. Like you can't touch it and you can't talk to it. You just have to let it lay there like a kangaroo. Like when a kangaroo is born, it's really neat. I saw it on the Nature Channel. Now, people, I love the Nature Channel. I love the Reader's Digest and I love the Nature Channel. And when I look at the Nature Channel, I saw this one episode where the kangaroo is like a little worm. It is born, Pedro, like a little worm. And it crawls out of the mother, right? And it goes into the pouch. And it's like a little worm and it finds a little pouch and it goes and it latches on. It's astounding. It's like a little rat. And it grows up into a big kangaroo in a pouch. Like it latches onto the milk and it grows up like that. It's amazing. So that's what they call it for the preemie. They call it kangarooing.
Was Zach hopping around at all?
No. I have to say, though, it's kind of funny because Zach was so precious doing this, but he looked a little tiny bit pathetic. I don't mean to be mean, but it was like he looked a little vulnerable to something. Like we're so used to tough, rough, tumble Zach, but he's like so like he's like a little like girl, like just not moving an inch and holding little baby into his chest. His face was precious. It was very precious. And I don't mean pathetic like lame. I mean just like a little bit like a weakling, like not the strong Zach we're used to. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, baby Ian, I mean, I would imagine Zach has a very hairy chest. So
no, he's not that hairy.
Oh, he's not?
We've seen his chest. He got a nice chest. Oh. He's manly. Like he has a little bit of down, but not a lot.
A little bit of down.
Not like you, Pedro. You have a lot of hair, no offense, on your chest. You have a little on your back too, but I can help you with that.
Ashley, you will not be waxing.
I wax Carlos all the time.
That's not. I don't think it's appropriate.
I have the formulation for sensitive skin.
I don't think it's appropriate.
We will talk about it after the show. Anyway, it was really nice. And people, I asked one of our listeners. Her name is Kat, and she is so wonderful. And she sends us, you know, emails to our MySpace page, myspace.com/Pine Valley Podcast. And she works in the NICU. I think it's NICU. It's either NICU or NICU, but it's the neonatal intensive care unit. And she's amazing. She tells us kind of like what all my children does right and what all my children does wrong. So yeah, so she said that the kangarooing was like really dead on. But the one thing she did point out that I thought was really funny was that you would never have like doctors being so involved in like the day-to-day care of the babies. You know, like, because the doctors are way too busy, like, they give it to the nurses to do, so, like, they do that stuff, you know. And the other thing that she did tell us is that, you know, Spike is so not out of the woods yet. Like, he is so not out of the woods. Like, she said, like, he could still die. Like he could be blind. He could be deaf and blind, you know, and mentally impaired and all that stuff. Like, basically, she said he could be really riding the short bus to school. And she didn't mean that to be mean, but she was just trying to say, like, the kids could have really a lot of problems. And Kendall and Zach are celebrating, like, they're home free. And Kendall's all worried about Spike not being able to hear. But Ian might not even be able to be, if you know what I'm saying.
Understand.
So, anyway. I thought it was pretty cool. I like the storyline. The storyline I don't like.
I don't like it. I still hate it. Is the Blandy storyline.
Well, she's got a secret.
Ugh. I'm not. We're going so long today. I'm not going to really dwell on Miss Blandy, but I will say that, you know, she keeps hearing the ring around the rosy stuff, and that's driving me crazy. And then she sees, like, she has this vision that Ryan has fallen out of a window and is, like, bleeding from his ears and his mouth and is dead. So it's like the same fear that Zach had. Like, it's always somebody falling out of a window or falling over a cliff or falling over a balcony or something. And it's ridiculous. Obviously, Blandy killed her mother. That's what I think.
I don't know. All I know is that Ryan perhaps should wear the same safety seat that Spike wore, because then he will be fine no matter what.
All I know is I'm so sick, Pedro, of this storyline. And it's like, how many times can Blandy lie to Ryan? She doesn't even lie to him. She tells him she ain't going to tell him. Like, he knows something is wrong. She basically tells him she's not going to tell him what's wrong.
Because she has a secret.
Oh, so stupid.
Well, was that, who was that, her father? The guy with the gray hair?
You know what I forgot to mention?
What?
Before I say anything else, Kenzel was hugging Babe at the party. Tad's party, and saying, what would I do without you? Oh, I wanted to kill somebody. She hated Babe.
Not anymore.
Babe took Bianca's baby. Now she's hugging and kissing her. Saying, what would I do without you?
She seems to have forgotten.
Ugh.
Maybe, you know, times of drop trauma. She's forgotten.
All I know is, back to Blandy and Ryan. Blandy lies to Ryan for the 18th time. And then she gets this delivery. And Ryan don't even try to look in the box as she's opening it. She opens this box.
He trusts her.
No, shut up, trust. She been lying to him through her teeth.
But he doesn't know that.
She a lying dog. You know what I'm saying?
She doesn't know that.
Well, he knows that. You got to call people on it. I remember, there's a website, marriagebuilders.com or something like that. I look at it all the time because me and Carlos, you know, well, we ain't married, but you know what I'm saying. Gives you advice. You know what I'm saying? And it says that you can't trust nobody. It says you gotta not trust nobody. This trust thing is a bunch of bull cocky. You gotta call your partner on stuff. If they say they're gonna be, you know, at the library at 10 o'clock at night, you gotta call them on a cell phone, and you better hear the elevator music in the background. Because if you don't hear the elevator music, you know they're lying.
What library has elevator music?
Whatever they play, classical music. I ain't been in a library in a long time.
They don't play any music. It's a quiet place.
You better hear silence. That's all I'm saying. You better hear the librarian saying Dewey Decimal System or something.
Listen, Ashley, I think that you have to trust your partner. And I believe the listeners will agree.
People, you got to go to marriagebuilders.com. I'm telling you right now.
So their advice is to not trust your partner?
They're saying, the doctor says, people cheat all the time. People go to him 50% of the time for cheating problems. That's what he says on the site. You got to read it, Pedro. You going to get married soon? You got to read this site. It tells you everything you want to know about marriage.
I'm telling you, I think I take one look
at
that
friend,
site.
My friend, Tamika, turned me on to it. She did.
And how's Tamika's marriage?
She's divorced.
Okay.
But if she had followed the marriage builder, she wouldn't be divorced.
Not to trust her husband?
Listen, we're digressing again. We like 82 minutes into the show, we're digressing. I'm going to tell you right now, Ryan should have opened that box. He should have looked with Blandy and opened that box. That box said, it had a little note and a locket. And it said, our anniversary is coming up. What are you going to get me? So then Annie lies through her teeth, says it's a gift. Ryan accepts her BS. She says, I'm going to Chicago. Ryan says, I'll go with you. She says, all right. Then they have sex. I'm going to tell you, what'd you think about the sex?
Steamy.
No, you did not. He's so lying, people. He was like, have a sleep.
There were satin sheets involved.
There was gray satin sheets. What hotel you know has satin sheets? I'm going to ask you right now.
I believe there's a motel on Route 6. They rent the room by the hour, and they have a heart-shaped bed.
Listen, it was a... Oh, but did you see? Ryan touched Blandy's boobie.
That I did see.
She flinched. Did you see that?
I did see
that. They were like spooning people, and he brought his arm around toward her chest, and he grabbed her little size A boobie.
I flinched. I was like, oh, when she flinched a little bit and then she kind of pulled his hand towards the center, like her heart.
I got to admit, I saw that and I thought that was I love that moment. That was very, Ryan was trying to check it out, you know, he was investigating.
It was pretty funny.
If Aiden had done that, he could have pawned it off on investigating. I was investigating, but.
Yes. Anyway, long story short, in the middle of the night, Blandy wakes up and she goes to see her father at some park. And she tells her dad it has to stop. So, I don't know what's going on.
He's got good hair.
Yes. Then we had, I don't really want to talk about her, so I'm not going to, people. Her name is Greenlee. She is dumbass Greenlee to me. I can't take it, people. I don't like it. There's basically like a little back and forth at the beginning of the week between Dr. Hilliard, as Ada would say, and Greenlee. And Greenlee's trying to convince him at the beginning of the week, you know, to basically take care of Spike. And he says no. And, you know, Aiden's coming. So Greenlee convinces Dr. Hilliard to cover for her. And then Aiden comes in and does a really bad job trying to convince Dr. Hilliard that he's just there for an appointment. And then Dr. Hilliard is on to him. And then Dr. Hilliard gives him all what for, because I really like Dr. Hilliard. He's really good. Like, he really acts really real, and he didn't take the BS from either one of them, and it was pretty good. And then something happens, people. Greenlee goes to the beach. You know, I try to watch so you don't have to, but it's really difficult with Greenlee.
Hold on. Did Greenlee hook up with Aiden?
Listen, this is what happened. They were on the beach or something, and he comes up with this cockamamie story, like, that he's made a mistake. That he did a terrible job at Dr. Hilliard's. Like, he doesn't apologize for actually doing this thing, but he apologizes for being so bad at his job. And he tells us some story where I'm afraid of eels, so I make myself swim because I'm afraid of eels.
I didn't understand what you said.
Yeah, neither did I. He's afraid of eels, so he made himself swim laps because he's afraid of eels when he was in the service in Britain. I don't even remember what it's called because he can't pronounce it. The SAS, I think he said it was. Whenever he made a mistake, the captain made him take swimming to light because he was afraid of eels. He eats eels.
I'm sorry, I didn't
understand. He eats eels.
I didn't understand what she said.
Yeah, I know. So that Ada swims, he gets her a sandwich, then they have sandwiches, and then Greenlee's laughing at him because he does a really bad Austin Powers impression, and she chokes on her sandwich, and then he does Heimlich, and he forgets that she has like 8 broken ribs, and then he breaks like 2 more of her ribs, and then she has to go to the hospital, and then they put her on drugs, and then she does the absolute worst drugged up imitation of somebody on drugs that I've ever seen. It was laughably bad, and she does that, and then she comes out of the hospital, and she talks to Jack, and Jack kisses her, and then she goes and she has dinner alone. And then I fall asleep again. All Greenlee does is really waste time on screen. She ends up somehow at the comeback as the party's leaving or ending. Thank God it's not while Kendall and Zach are there, because I would have had to throw up if that happened. But she actually goes in and bumps into Aiden. He breaks another 2 ribs after he bumps into her. So why can't he just puncture her lungs?
Ashley, that is a terrible thing to say.
Listen, the viewers all agree. If you read our blogs and our comments on our MySpace page, they all agree. That's all I got to say about Greenlee. Jack and Erica make out at the comeback.
I love Jack.
Ava, JR, Amanda. Boring. Did JR tell Colby and Crystal that Ava has some breasts? They were, like, sitting planning Tad's party, and he goes, you gotta admit, she does have some breasts.
Maybe they were talking about chicken breasts.
Listen, I rewound my tape, like, 82 times. I really believe that he said, you gotta admit, Ava does have some breasts.
Again, they could have been talking about chicken.
But, like, some breasts, you know what I'm saying? Like, some breasts. She has some breasts.
Right, maybe she's got a quarter pound of chicken.
I don't know. Someone finally mentioned Brooke. I was very happy about that. Amanda tried to dump Ava. Didn't work. Babe still is making Amanda babysit for Ava. So we'll see how that goes. I am exhausted, Pedro. This was an exhausting week of television. So little happened.
Well, listen, there was a surprise party. And Tad was there. And, you know, and some other stuff happened.
That's true. All right, people. That's about it for me.
I think you need to end on a high note.
What's the high note, Pedro?
Fine, you got to find it deep down inside. What was the one thing you liked this week?
I love Tad kissing Crystal. I love Tad's birthday. I love that they talked about Brooke.
Listen, I loved Opal.
Opal was great.
I want to see Opal and Jack make out.
Opal wants to make out with Aiden. She was hitting at him. She was hitting all over him at the party.
Aiden, the problem is Aiden kept saying no, but no one could understand it.
She probably thought he was saying yes, when, where, how. Too funny. All right, people. I think that's about all I got, Pedro. We're looking forward to Taylor Crawford's safe return from Dubuque, Iowa. I think he's got a 3-way connecting flight. He couldn't afford a direct flight. I hope you make it back in one piece and on time, Taylor. If you want to write us, you can write us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you can leave comments on our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. I'm your host, Ashley Mendoza.
I'm Peter.
He's Pedro.
So long.
And here's a little something just for you.
Inner city high schools are a dangerous place, where hope has lost out to hate. Where your homework isn't about math, it's about staying alive.
Yo, this school, if you black, Latino, or Asian, you will get shot. That's a fact.
Only one thing can make these kids learn. A nice white lady.
Quiet, quiet, everybody. Quiet, please be quiet, everybody. My name is Amy Little. I'm a white lady.
Shut up, white lady.
With the odds against her, she'll do the unthinkable.
Forget it. These are minorities. They can't learn, and they can't be educated.
With all due respect, sir, I'm a white lady. I can do anything. Why won't you let me teach you?
Because you're a white lady. You don't know me. Look at you. And that sweater vest you're wearing. And that adorable patterned blouse. What you think is going to happen here? You think you're going to inspire me? You think you're going to break through my tough girl act and teach me the beauty that's inside? You think you're gonna make me do and feel things that I never have before? All because you a non-threatening, kind-hearted, beautiful white lady? Is that what you think? Well, you wrong. We fight for our lives in these streets.
Write that down.
Then my father stabbed me in the tatas and told me I was nothing. But he was wrong. He's the one that is nothing.
When it comes to teaching inner city minorities, you don't need books and you don't need rules. All you need is a nice white lady. Nice white lady. Coming to a theater near you.
Yo! Thank you, nice white lady.